church family. The Giving Tree by Shel Silverstein is a classic children's book. That's good, Jeremiah. It's a classic children's book that talks about giving. It talks about the love between a tree and a boy, and this tree had the job, the privilege, the responsibility of giving to this boy because he loved the boy, gave the boy through the duration of this brief story everything that the boy wanted. Everything that she had, she gave sacrificially, she gave abundantly, she gave everything she had for the love of the boy so the boy could be happy. Now I'm going to play on this idea of the giving tree later in the message, but I want to talk to you about the truth about giving today, the giving tree. If you have your Bibles, would you turn to Luke chapter 6, Luke chapter 6, and we're going to look at one verse today and just break it down, tear it down, and see what the Bible has to say about giving, the truth about giving, the giving tree. You know, when I was little, and that's been a while, when I was a young boy, I can remember when we would go to church, my earliest memories of my mom and dad getting us ready on Sunday morning included sitting at the table and much like we do now, we, at the beginning of the year, there'll be a table out in the foyer and they'll set boxes of envelopes out for families to come and get for them to give, for them to tithe and give offering throughout the year. Well, back in the day, way back in the day, those envelopes looked a lot different. Do you remember, who remembers these envelopes that we used to use, and at the bottom they had these check boxes? Attendance, worship, offering, read your Bible, and each one had a percentage, like we was keeping score. And my earliest memories of giving was my mom and dad would sit at the table, and every Sunday morning, I remember us filling out that envelope and checking those silly boxes, but it taught me something. It taught me that giving was important. It taught me that tithing was important. It taught me the truth about giving as it relates to what God has to say in His Word about this truth. Pastor Steve talked about convictions last week, and there are some strong convictions that the Bible teaches as it relates to giving. So Luke chapter 6, verse 38, I want you to turn there, and we're going to break down this passage this morning. Luke chapter 6, in verse 36 and 37, there's a couple of commands given: be merciful, do not condemn, do not judge. And then verse 38, Jesus says, give, and it will be given to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. For with the measure you use, it will be measured back to you. Anytime there's a message on giving, people get a little nervous. Now, I'm a little nervous today because the pastor has never sat here when I preached before. I've been here 10 and a half years and preached a number of times on this stage and the other stage in the MPB, and the pastor's never been here when I've preached live. He's always listened to my sermons and always has good critique, and I appreciate the opportunity to share with you today. But I just want to look at briefly what the Bible has to say about the giving tree, the truth about giving. The first thing I want you to see is instructions about giving. Look at the simple beginning to this verse. Give. Jesus says, give. He doesn't say, give if you feel like it. Give if you're comfortable. Give when you want to. He says, it's a command. Commands usually are not optional. Now, my oldest son, Brandon, is at the U.S. Naval Academy, and if he didn't know this already, he's learning this very well every day, that when he's told something, when he's given a command, he doesn't have any answer other than, yes, sir, yes, ma'am, and he does it. It's not optional, and if he or any other of the midshipmen there think that a command given to them by a superior is optional, they find out real quick that there's consequences to their choice of making a command optional. Now listen to me. When you and I came to the place in our life, whether you know it or not, I'm going to share with you this morning, the cat's out of the bag. Whether you know it or not, when you gave your life to Jesus to be your Savior and King, whether you were an adult, whether you were a child, a teenager, a young adult, single, married, divorced, doesn't matter. If you are a person that professes faith Jesus as your personal Savior and Lord, then what you did is you gave him your life. You gave him your life to say, I'm going to do what you want me to do. I'm going to live my life for you because you obviously know better than me. And I'm going to follow you. And this book is the instruction book for our life as followers of Christ. It's not a book that we pick and choose what we're going to follow. It's a good place to say amen. Amen. It's not just, oh, I like that one. You know, parents always pull out the children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Kids hate that. But a lot of times, you know what church folks don't like? Give. Listen to me. In order for the church to be healthy, and I don't mean this building, I mean this body of believers. The church is not a building, it's people. You with me? We are the church. God doesn't dwell in a temple anymore, he dwells in us. You with me? So when he came into us, we yielded control of our life to him. And when he came into you, he gifted you. He gave you what the Bible calls spiritual gifts. Now, unique to each one of you because God knows how we best fit into the body. But the church, the body of Christ, is healthiest when people are using the gifts that God gave them within the context of the church. We don't need 20% doing 80% of the work. We don't need 20% doing 80% of the giving. And that's what the statistics show. In any context of a body of believers like this, from very small to very large and everywhere in between, that's what the context shows, that within a body of believers, 20% do 80% of the work, 20% do 80% of the giving. That's a tragedy. That should not be. And for First Baptist Pflugerville to be as healthy as God wants us to be, every person that claims the name of Christ has a responsibility and a privilege of using the gifts God's given them to enhance his kingdom, to enhance the work that God's doing through this body, locally and globally. We need everybody. There's no spectators when it comes to following Christ. Your opportunity to serve and give and live for Christ is not over until you breathe your last. And if God has you here, and he has you here physically, and he has you here as a follower of Christ, he's called you to serve, he's called you to give, he's called you to live for him. Not just when it's convenient. Not just when it feels good. Not just when we want to give. And listen, the context I'm talking about today is going to be way more than money. But that's a part of it. And let's start with the first instruction of giving, and that's the tithe. Let's look at it. Give. What does God want us to give? He wants us to give a tithe. Malachi 3, 8 and 10 talks about, God says, how can a man rob God? In tithes and offerings. God says, through Malachi, he says, test me by giving the tithe. And a tithe is simply 10%. 10%. You'll give more than that when you go out to eat today to tip your server. 10%. He says, test me in the tithe and see if I will not pour out a blessing. See if I will not pour out an abundance upon you more than you can contain. God wants us, who are his followers, to give a tithe. 10% of what comes into our life. Now listen, I'm going to say this at the end, but I'm going to say it now. It all belongs to God. Right? It's all his. James 1:17 says, every good and perfect gift comes from above, from the Father of lights, with whom there's no variation, no shadow of turning. Anything that you have, any blessing you have, any gift that you have or have been gifted, it's because God has blessed you. It's because God has given it to you. You're a steward. We're managers for a short time of the blessings God has given us. And he wants us to use them. Listen. To glorify him, to bring praise and glory to him, and to enhance his church and the work that God wants to do through the church. Proverbs 3, 9 and 10 says that we're to give of the first fruits, and that when we do, he's going to pour out a blessing. When we do, he's going to pour out a blessing. So giving of the tithe, secondly, not just giving of the tithe, but giving of our time. Psalm 90, verse 12 says, teach us to number our days. Translated, every day matters. You have a choice what you do with the time that God's given you. You have a choice how you serve or how you give or how you work with your time. And listen, we all have the same amount, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 a year. And listen, once time is gone, you can't use it again. All we have is today. All we have is right now. And God wants us to use that time for him. We can use it for a lot of things, but he wants us to use our time to glorify him. How can I do that? How about going and mowing the yard of a senior adult on a Saturday that can't do it themselves? How about going across the street and working an extended session with the preschoolers one Sunday to give somebody else a break? You know, there's about 12 of them over there today, and they serve about 12 times a year. They're not here. You can serve there. You could plug in as a substitute teacher. You could plug into the orchestra for this coming Christmas celebration this Christmas season. There's so many places you can serve. There's so many places you can give your time. So many places. God wants to use the time that we have for his glory. Teach us to number our days. Make every day count. And you can't make it count any better than when you use your time for the glory of God. And there's many, many, many opportunities in many contexts, in many ministries within the context of this local body. And if you need to know more, we would love to share with you ways that you can plug in and use your time. Because God needs all of us. All of us can't do everything, but some of us can do, everyone can do something to enhance the body of Christ here. So giving our tithe, giving our time, and then giving our talent. Giving our talent. Now don't be confused. Different people have different talents. That's different from a spiritual gifting. When you become a follower of Christ, that's when God's Spirit comes to live in you, as 1 Peter 4:10 encourages us to stir up the gift that is within each of us, that special gift that God's given you. Spiritual gifts are different than talents, but they all come from God. If you have the ability to sing, you should sing for the glory of God. If you have the ability if you're athletic, athletically gifted, you should use that athletic ability for the glory of God. If you can preach, if you can teach, whether in a church setting or in a public setting, if you can encourage, if you can help in another context, if you're good at law, whatever you're good at, whatever your talent is, if you draw well, listen, God doesn't gift us just to have something else to do. He knows what, listen, Matthew 6 verse 8, it says, God knows what we need before we ask him. And so he knows what you need, and he gifted you with spiritual gifts and with talents to use for him. Listen, God wants us to use the platform that he's given us, whatever that context is in your life, to make him famous, to make him known. It's not so that you can say, hey, look at me. Look what I did. Look at all these plaques. Look at all these trophies. Look at all these awards. Listen, in the end, none of that's going to matter. What's going to matter is what did we do for the cause of Christ? What did we do to enhance the kingdom? What did we do to reach people for Jesus? The late missionary C.T. Studd said, only one life will soon be passed. Only what's done for Jesus will last. When the end comes, all that will matter is what did you do with what God gave you for him, for Jesus, for his glory? Giving the tithe, giving your time, giving your talent, and finally, giving your treasure. Giving your treasure. In Matthew 6, this verse I have referenced here, Matthew 6, 19 through 21, Jesus encourages us and reminds us, don't lay up for yourself treasures on earth where moth and rust corrupts, where thieves can come in and steal. Store up for yourself treasures in heaven. Use what treasure, what you treasure is what you love. Listen to me. You know what God treasures the most? Y'all are waiting, aren't you? It's people. He loves people. Because people, everybody's going to live forever somewhere. He wants us to treasure people and use the gifts and abilities and time and resources that we have to bring them to Christ or to encourage them to follow Christ. Maybe you're a genuine Christ follower, but you've got off track. It's okay. You can return. You can repent and return and be welcomed back into the family. God proved it. God proved that people were his treasure because he gave the greatest gift on the ultimate giving tree, the cross of Calvary. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. He treasures you. He loves you. He died for you. He wants you to be plugged in. Listen, and it's hard not to miss these teenagers right here, but let me just say something right here to you teenagers. These principles about giving, they don't just apply to everybody else. And y'all do a great job of serving, but if you have a job, then you're still responsible to give 10% of that if you want to follow what the Word of God says. And you know what Malachi 3 says that I referenced earlier? It says when we don't, we're a thief, we're robbing from God. Because listen, you're not giving to this church. You're giving to God through this church. You see it? There's a difference. God has given people in this church, pastors and leadership, responsibility for using the funds that are given, but you're giving to God. And you're giving to God through this local body of believers so that this local body of believers can be a part of enhancing the kingdom to the ends of the earth. Locally here in Pflugerville, in this community, in this region, in this state, in this nation, and around the world. And it takes all of you. On Tuesday nights, we go to Rose's for Taco Tuesday. Do I have any fans there? I see that hand, Mark. And we were in line this past Tuesday night, and we had paid and were going to get our drinks. And as I was folding my wallet, there was some change in an envelope I had, and a quarter and a penny fell on the ground. Well, the family behind me was a family that that I knew from them being a part of this church several years ago. And there were two little ones. And I knelt down and picked up the penny and quarter and gave it to the two kids. You'd have thought I'd given them $1 million. It was 26 cents. But it might as well have been $26 million to them. Listen, God knows what you have. And the cool thing about this verse is what comes after the command to give. And let's look at that, the blessings of giving. Give, and it will be given to you. Give, and it will be given to you. What will be given to you? Whatever you need. God knows your need before you ask him. And he's going to meet that need. He's going to take care of you. He's going to provide for you. Philippians 4, it says, my God will supply all your needs according to his riches and glory in Christ Jesus. God's not short on resources. He's not short on resources. I'll show you a passage in Psalm 50 towards the end here that says he owns it all. He owns it all. Well, Brother John, why does he want me to give then? To follow his example. because of your deep-hearted, sold-out devotion and love for Him? Is there anything that God might ask you to give that you'd say, oh, anything but that, God? No, that's off limits. No, I can't give up that. I can't sacrifice that. Do you know what it took to get that? Do you know what I paid for that? We have forgotten who's in charge. We're the steward. We're the manager. We're not the owner. Was that an 11? He's laughing back there. We're not the owner. We're the manager. God blesses us so we can be a blessing to others. Let me just be straight here. When you don't tithe and give to this church as commanded by God, the body hurts. And we don't always have the resources we need because God chooses to use us. As the pastor says often, and I've quoted him a lot of times on this, and I hope I get it right. He says oftentimes, we're the best God's got. We're the best He's got. And so we got to do the best we can to obey the Word. Let me ask you a question. When you ask your children, if you still have children in your home, or grandchildren, when you ask them to do something, do you want them to pick and choose what they obey? Hello, parents. Okay, I'll clean my room. No, I don't want to take out the trash. Sure, I'll go to the store for you. No, I don't want to do that. I don't want to go clean the dog poop out of the backyard. My kids used to have to do that. When we tell them to do something as parents, we expect them to do it. Listen, we don't want to obey God because we have to. He's a gentleman. He's not going to make you, but I can promise you, when you don't, there's going to be consequences. When you do, there's abundant blessings. Don't we as individuals, followers of Christ, and as the body of Christ, don't we want the abundant blessings of God? Anybody out there? Don't we want those blessings? Listen. The whole premise of financial peace that Dave Ramsey teaches is to be debt-free so that you can give and build wealth so that you can give it away. Not that so you can keep it and store it up, because you're not going to take any with you. You won't need it when you get to glory. You won't need it. Give and it will be given to you. Three quick things there. Provision. God will provide for your needs. Do you believe that? Provision. Secondly, not only will He provide, but He will provide in a plentiful manner. Look how it says in this passage, give and it will be given to you. How? Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. That's a picture of abundance. That's an agricultural illustration where they take whatever the crop is and they mash it up, they press it down, they put it in a container, they shake it up so that you can get more in it until it's running over. That's how God wants to bless us. Do you see it? It comes through giving. And listen, whether it's time, tithe, time, talent, or treasure, it starts by giving yourself, your whole self, your whole heart. Luke 9:23, he says it this way, speaking to believers. If any man would come after me, he must deny himself daily and what? Follow me. When you're saved, I was so thrilled to see Marshall make that profession of faith public through baptism. Don's over here crying like a baby. It's awesome! Because now he's growing and these others, they're growing. But we have the opportunity to bless others by giving in a plentiful way. And God's going to bless us in return. Can I just remind you? You can't outgive God. You can't do it. How can you outgive someone who owns it all? That's trying to give more than Bill Gates or Warren Buffett. But even they don't have a penny on God. He doesn't just own the cows on 1,000 hills. He owns the hills. He owns it all. But his most important creation is you, is me. We are his treasure, and he died to prove it. Not when we deserved it, but while we were yet sinners, Romans 5:8 says, Christ died for us on that ultimate giving tree that cost him everything. When we give, he's promised us blessings to provide and to provide plentiful will be poured into your lap more than you need. It's like the life, John 10 says, that he came to give us. Life more abundantly. All that you need. Number three, and the promise that he gives in this passage. If you give, it will be given to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over. For with the measure you give, it will be given to you in return. In Galatians 6, this is called the law of the harvest. Galatians 6, 7 has been, older I get, the more favorite verses I have, but Galatians 6, 7 was my original, what I called my original life verse, because it says, don't be deceived, God is not mocked. For whatever a man sows, plants, that he will also reap. He who sows to the flesh shall from the flesh reap corruption. But he who sows to the Spirit shall from the Spirit reap eternal life. The law of the harvest. There's three things that go with it. You always get what you sow. You always get what you plant. You always get more. You always get more than you plant. And it always comes later in abundance. That's how God wants to bless us as independent followers of Christ and as the body of Christ through First Baptist Pflugerville. For with the measure you give. If you're stingy, then you fill in the blank. The measure you choose to give, abundantly or stingily, if that's even a word, that's the measure that's going to be returned to you. You know what George Barna says? George Barna and the research group, probably the most prominent research group on church and culture in the world. He did a study in 2016 called The Generosity Gap. And it's, you ought to look it up and read it. But it says, of people who say they are professing, practicing Christians, they give an average income of their disposable income, they give an average of 3 to 4%. I'll let that sink in a minute. The blessings are waiting. Our Father is an abundant, generous, giving God. He'll provide. He'll provide in plenty, and he'll provide by giving us more than we sow and later than we sow if we will. That's his promise. Let's finish up looking at this. Some examples of giving. And we'll go through this quickly. I love the story of the poor widow in Mark 12. Do you remember that? When Jesus is watching at the treasury and all these people who are wealthy come by and give out of their abundance, and this widow comes by and Jesus said, look, they gave of all their abundance with plenty left over. She gave from her poverty all that she had to live on. That means she gave and didn't have anything left. That's awesome. You know why? Because she knew she couldn't trust God to provide for her. She couldn't trust anybody. Have you ever been there when you didn't have anywhere else to turn? The Bible says she gave it all. Everything she had, all that she had to live on. Because she knew who her master was. She knew that he would provide and take care of her needs. Secondly, the rich young ruler is an example on the other side. He came to Jesus. What must I do to inherit eternal life? And what Jesus said to him? Sell all you have and give it to the poor, then come follow me. Well, I've kept all these commandments from my childhood. So all you have, give to the poor and come follow me. You know what the Bible says? He went away sad because he was very wealthy. He wasn't willing to give Jesus his all. And for the sake of time, I don't have time to give you these others, but men like Jim Elliot, Eric Little. Jim Elliot, one of my favorite quotes that's appropriate here, he said, "He is no fool who gives what he cannot keep to gain what he cannot lose." A martyr in Ecuador at the age of 27 to reach the Alca Indians for the cause of Christ. He is no fool who gives what he cannot keep to gain what he cannot lose. And let's wrap it up with these general truths about giving that I've given you already through this sermon, but let's recap the truth about giving. God is a giving God. He's proven it. He's given unconditionally, sacrificially, generously, more than we deserve. Secondly, God owns everything. Therefore, every blessing comes from Him. Every blessing comes from Him. Thirdly, God loves a cheerful giver. 2 Corinthians 9:7. God loves a cheerful giver. He loves those who give from a hilarious, a cheerful heart. Fourthly, God gave the ultimate gift on the ultimate giving tree when He gave His Son Jesus for you. And finally, He calls us to give. He calls us, His followers, to give in the same way that He has given to us. Unconditionally, no strings attached. Sacrificially, without reservation. Generously, when you give, the Bible says if you give, that God, it will be given to you. And it will be given to you in the same measure that you give. Pouring over. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. It starts by asking yourself the question, do I have a personal relationship with Jesus? So you can't give like this until you know the God who provided salvation for you. He's a generous God, and He wants to bless you. And that starts with you saying yes to receiving the blessing, the gift, the greatest gift of eternal life. It's only found in Jesus. There's no other way to heaven. There's no other way to God. There's one way, Jesus. He died to pay the price for your sin so that you could live forever and so that you could live a life of abundant giving to those that need Him for the cause of Christ while there's still time. Maybe you're a follower of Christ. Maybe God's encouraging you or challenging you or convicting you in some area this morning. And you need to respond obediently. He waits with open arms. He welcomes us home. For those that need Christ, in just a minute, we're going to give you that opportunity. God is a giving, generous, loving God, and He died to prove it. Will you follow Him today, whatever His call? Let's pray together. In just a moment,